lowest prices, listen to this. Buy a set of four tires and get absolutely free road hazard, rotation, and flat repair for the life of that tire. Hamrick's, the only tire store whose tire protection is free and worry-free. Hamrick's Automotive Center, 611 East Wallace, San Saba. The Memorial Day sales event is on now at Mattressville, with 40 beds on display in their huge 6,000-square-foot showroom. Mattressville will have you sleeping better in no time. Save up to $700 off Tempur-Pedic, up to $600 off Stearns & Foster, and up to $200 off their best-selling Sealy Hybrids. Delivery and haul-off is always free. Mattressville, across from Hobby Lobby in Early, or find them on MattressvilleTX.com. And remember, everyone sleeps better in Mattressville.
Sonic's morning drink stop, with drinks starting at 99 cents before 10 a.m., could turn anyone into a morning person, even me. Good thing I have a four-hour meeting starting soon. I should bring them all iced teas from Sonic. Now this guy's cutting me off and giving me the number one sign.
Have a great morning, sir.
Oh, only one lane is open. This must be my lucky day.
Wake up with your favorite drink classics starting at only 99 cents. And try order ahead on the Sonic app to get your favorites faster. This is how you Sonic. Text not included. See menu for details for a limited time. Only participating Sonic drive-ins.
Well, again, mostly sunny. 75 the high today. 20% chance of showers. 56 the low tonight. 20% chance of rain. 75 tomorrow. Then highs around 80 Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. More rain chances moving in this weekend. Right now we are looking at mostly clear skies. Beautiful morning and 56 here in downtown Brownwood at the big 101.3 KOXE. All right, Sergeant David Roberts with the Department of Public Safety.
Let me answer the phone. KOXE, you'll be
safe.
Hang on.
All right. There we go, Ben. We got people hanging.
We do. We got the full board. We've already got a text question over here, and I'm going to start with this one on the messenger over here. So, William, just hang on. You'll be up next here. Casey wants to know, and we've had this question before. By the way, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you guys up here?
Everything's hunky-dory.
A little wet.
Of course, we had this terrible incident with the highway. Well, hold on. I want to address that a little bit later.
Yeah, we will. We'll talk about it. It's still in progress. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The search is still on, but there's still a tragic situation there. Let's go to Casey again. When driving through a work zone, if it's after hours or no crew is around, do you still have to follow the speed limit sign?
Okay, the construction zone signs that you see, you're going to have two different kinds. One will be the warning kind. It'll be the orange background with black lettering, and that's a suggested speed. But if it's a prolonged zone, if it's a zone that had to be approved through a governmental entity, wherever that place is at, the construction zone's at, there's going to be black and white signs that are lower in speed than the normal speed for that area. So, yes, the black and white signs, let's say you're in a 75 zone on a major highway, and they have marked the construction zone at 60. Well, it's pretty common. It doesn't matter if workers are there or not. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's going to be a 60 zone until that construction is completed. That being said, the only difference is the fine amount. So if you are stopped for violating that speed law in that area, regardless if workers are there, you will be cited most likely for the violation, and the fine will be normal if no workers were there. But if even one worker is present in that construction zone anywhere, the fine amount will double. So that's the difference.
All right. Good question, Casey. We'll put you in for that drawing at the end of the show. William's been hanging on for a while. William, go ahead for Sergeant Roberts.
Good day, Sergeant Roberts. Hopefully you had a decent morning. I was curious about a question. I've made a couple of inquiries over the internet. I talked to Parks and Wildlife, and I couldn't get an answer. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if you could help me out here. I'm trying to transport a vessel, from Big Lake to Lake Coleman. I have not purchased it. I've got to do some work on it.
Right.
But the tags on the trailer are expired.
Mm-hmm.
According to the internet, you can't go get a temp tag for that trailer. I'm trying to find out how can I transport that over TxDOT Road legally.
Right.
Before purchasing the boat and the trailer and ensuring I can do it legally and do it the right way.
I really don't know if there is a way that you could do that unless the owner... Do you know if the owner of it currently can get a temp tag for that so you can do that?
According to the internet and according to the registration, there's no exception for a temp tag for a boat trailer. The only exceptions are for actual either a homemade utility trailer,
right,
or a utility trailer that with a bill of sale.
See, you've educated me. If that's the case, because DMV is not part of DPS, so some of those technicalities we're not really aware of until we're stopped. You know, we're stopped on the side of the highway and we have to look it up. So, you know, you may be very well correct. What I can tell you is, I do know for motor vehicles that the only exception would be one, like you just said, get a temp tag, you know, a one-day tag or whatever, and that'll be fine. But on traveling, let me back up. If you purchase a vehicle, the bill of sale, which is not an official document, there's no document number. You don't have to download it. It could be written on a napkin. You know,
yes, sir.
You know, this guy sells this guy this car, and then you're good. That bill of sale will suffice with no registration until you can get that vehicle down there and get it inspected and registered. So, and that doesn't mean drive it for a week. That means from point A to point B.
Absolutely. Sorry about that. I understand that. You wouldn't want to do anything unethical.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll have to do some research on that. DMV or, you know, your local registration office would probably be able to guide you the right way. But I don't see why you couldn't get a temporary tag for that, because you'd be in the same boat regardless if it was a motor vehicle or if it was a trailer, right?
That was my thought process. However, when I went down there and talked to Texas Parks and Wildlife, they said there's not any, the exemptions don't apply to a boat trailer. They only apply to utility trailers and homemade trailers. Second part of my question, Sergeant Roberts, is recently there's been a Governor Abbott and everybody passed a state law. Is it correct that disabled vehicle license plates are authorized to utilize handicapped parking locations at any location where it's indicated, at say stores or any of those locations?
You talk about this legislative session. There's something new, because
disabled. You know how you can when you're a disabled veteran, 100%
right,
disabled.
Yeah,
and you go down to get your license plate, and you show them your proof of 100% disabled. They give you a disabled veteran's license plate specifically. Like my doctor said, they won't let you apply with a handicap license plate because you have a disabled veteran's plate, which Governor Abbott, they passed the law, the statute, legislative statute saying,
right,
you have a disabled veteran's license plate, you don't need the handicapped placard because you've already applied and have that
right
documentation.
Yeah, well, that's the way I understand it, is handicap plates and DV plates, disabled veteran plates,
are allowed to park at any of the handicapped.
That is correct. The affected person, make sure you understand the affected person has to be in the vehicle in order to utilize the spot, because you'll see it. I mean, you know, some people don't do the right thing, and they'll borrow grandma's car or something and park in the front part. Yeah, you can't do that.
Absolutely, Sergeant Roberts. I just wanted to clarify that with my head, because there's been some questions regarding that. Sergeant Roberts, you've been a great pleasure. Thank you for helping me out, and have a wonderful day, sir.
Absolutely.
All right, William, thank you for the call. Let's go to line two. Hey, we'll open up a phone line if you've been trying to dial through. Trooper Talk with Sergeant David Roberts on a special Monday edition, giving away some great prizes to one of our callers at the end of the show, 646-1013. So grab an open line, 646-1013. Good morning, KOXE. What's your first name?
Wayne and Coleman.
All right, go ahead.
Wayne and Coleman.
All right. On the sidewalk, it's a red paint. And you put the park there.
You're talking about, like, if it's marked red, it's probably no parking zone. So
yeah, somebody may park on a red parking near on a red sign.
Yeah, that's going to be most likely. It's going to be a local entity that would have marked that roadway, not the state. But yeah, if it's marked, red, you probably aren't supposed to park there.
Oh, okay. Some people park on that commercial on a red sign.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. And it's y'all know, okay?
All right, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Wayne. 646-1013. Grab one of those open phone lines, as somebody just did. 646-1013. Trooper Talk. Good morning, KOXE. What's your first name?
Joyce.
Joyce, go ahead for Sergeant David Roberts right over here.
Yes, sir. I go down at Walmart, buy my groceries and stuff, and people that's not handicapped is taking up the handicap
parking places down there. What do you do about that?
Oh, you can always report the vehicles to the local authorities because they'll be more interested in coming down there and finding out who's doing it.
Well, there's quite a few down there doing it, and I didn't know somebody should stop that.
Yeah, I hate to see people abuse that kind of stuff because, you know, there's a reason that it's there in the first place. I mean, there are people that need it. So, if you see that, that's not a problem. You can, I wouldn't call 911 because, you know, it's not.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
But, yeah, you can call the local authorities on a non-emergency line and just tell them, hey, this is what's going on. Here's the vehicle, you know, identifying information.
Who do you call, the sheriff's department or who?
If it's in the city, you'd call the city. If it's in the county, you'd call the county.
Well, it's in the city.
Yeah.
But I've seen two women wasn't handicapped, no handicapped license plates or nothing. And this poor guy, he was real bad shape, and they pulled in front of him and took that place, and he didn't have a parking place.
That's terrible. That's what we're trying to avoid.
Yeah, that is terrible.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
But anyway, well, I sure do thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Appreciate
all right.
The call. Well,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you, Joyce. We'll put you in for that drawing. I'm giving away a dozen donuts, a six-pack of Dr. Pepper, Billy Bob's tickets, KOXE t-shirt to one of our callers this morning. We'll draw for that winner at the end of the show. 646-1013 is the number to dial in. Grab one of those open phone lines right now for Sergeant David Roberts with the Department of Public Safety. Cindy wants to know, this is kind of an interesting question. She heard that you're really not allowed to park on the curb in front of your house. Is there any truth to that?
You know, I've never heard that before, unless it's a local ordinance. I've never really heard that before. I mean, there may be something that a local city somewhere has come up with if the roadway is not wide enough, et cetera. Or if it's marked, you know, obviously if there's markings on the curb or if there's signage that says no parking, then you can't park there. But as far as the state law is concerned, I'm not aware of anything that would prohibit you from parking. As long as you do it legally, you know, you have to be facing the right direction. That's one thing people don't do. You see them pull across the road. Yeah, you ain't supposed to do that. Yeah, don't do that.
You know, I've always wondered about that law. I know it's against the law, but your vehicle's taking up the same space.
Right.
In my opinion, whether it's facing the right way or not, okay? That's just my thinking, okay? I'm not advocating doing it.
The problem therein lies, you know, you're on the wrong side of the road. You're not passing anybody, which is a state law. And then when vehicles are coming at the vehicle, what they're going to notice at first is that, hey, there's a guy pointing at me in my lane. So,
true.
Which is, you know, could be dangerous. Somebody might get scared, you know. So.
Right. Pulling out of that area with facing traffic. Yeah, it's kind of difficult right there. All right. Anonymous caller right now. I've got three or four text messages, too. This is I know who this is, but they want to remain anonymous. Can you get a ticket if your car is parked in your driveway for an expired registration?
No. The registration is for operating on a public roadway. So unless you're operating on a public roadway, you're okay.
I wonder if that actually happened to this person right here.
I don't know. It sounds pretty specific.
All right. I got another one right here. This is from Chastity. Let me write this down because we're trying to get all these names. We're going to have a drawing at the end of the show.
Right.
By the
right,
way,
right.
We will take more phone calls, too. 646-1013. She's curious about the rules for oversized loads when they're holding up traffic on a highway. Sergeant Roberts, what are the rules on that? Thank you, Chastity.
That was also very specific. For oversized load, is that what she said?
Yeah. Oops. Yes.
I don't know exactly what she's talking about, if they were sitting still or if they were moving, but regardless, even if they're a permitted load, regardless of how big they are, they're required to not impede traffic if they can safely do so, like any other vehicle. So if they are impeding traffic, you know, they're causing a dangerous situation, they need to be reported. So either the highway patrol or the county or city can go talk to them and find out what's going on.
Well, she says moving, like up Bangs Hill.
Okay, yeah. If they have the ability to get over safely, like any other vehicle, they're required to because they can't impede traffic. They're not exempt from that law.
Okay, there you go, Chastity. Thank you so much. We'll put you in for that drawing at the end of the show for all the Dr. Pepper, Shipley Donuts, Billy Bob's, and some other goodies. So jump online right now, one of those empty phone lines, 646-1013. I got a couple more text messages.
Mm-hmm.
We love those, but we love your phone calls, 646-1013, and we'll get back to your questions with Sergeant David Roberts, Department of Public Safety. It's Trooper Talk. You know, I didn't play the intro a while ago.
Oh, you didn't. So when we come back from break, you'll have to play
I'll have to make it official, though we've been going for like 20 minutes. All right, back with more right after this.
CTTC introduces Fiber Communities. I know what you're thinking. What is a fiber community? And what makes ours so special? CTTC Fiber Communities provide cutting-edge technology to improve the quality of communication in rural Central Texas. Our fiber communities are equipped with reliable, high-speed connections with speeds up to 1 gig. These resources allow businesses, schools, and healthcare systems access to the latest technology available. But it's not all work and no play in our CTTC fiber communities. Residential areas also benefit from our fiber optic services. Stream movies, game online with no lag, connect all your Wi-Fi-enabled devices, and even work from home with ease. What would you do in a CTTC fiber community? CTTC, connected to the community and connecting you to endless possibility.
Hey, everybody. I'm talking to Brad Preston with Brad's Tree Service. You know, Brad, we've had a little bit of bad weather around. I've seen some of these trees and limbs knocked down to the ground, and I know you guys have been taking care of this area for quite some time.
There's a lot of trees that are hanging over houses, a lot of dead trees. We specialize in, you know, taking out trees that anybody else can't. We know we're not a lawn service. We're strictly trees.
You guys are insured?
We have $1 million insurance policy for any property damage.
You guys have been doing this for quite a while, too.
Between me and my guys, we probably got about 30 years experience.
All right, and you haul off as well?
Yeah, we take care of everything that we cut down.
Brad's Tree Service, 325-829-0667. Central Texas Auto Recyclers is a one-stop shop for quality used parts for your vehicles. Providing Brownwood and the Central Texas area with all your auto parts needs is just one of the services we provide. Central Texas Auto Recyclers will also pay top dollar for your vehicle. Call 325-646-6020 or go by the yard located behind the Sportsman Center. They can even make arrangements to pick your vehicle up for you if needed. Central Texas Auto Recyclers on the Lake Dam Road. You know, a few weeks ago, our good friend Sergeant David Roberts took his Tahoe's cruiser down to Auto Glass Magic, and Donna and those folks, you had a little cracker chip on your windshield, right?
I did. Had a little rock chip, and Donna took care of it. I mean, lickety-split, and it has been good ever since.
She's done it for me about 4 years ago, still holding up that windshield. They got that little procedure they can do. So if you've got a cracker chip windshield, take it to Donna right there, 646-9789. That's her phone number. Her address is 100 North Main. Great folks. Saw her this past weekend somewhere hanging around. Where was I that I saw Donna? I saw her somewhere. Anyway, go by and see Donna or give her a call, 646-9789. It's Auto Glass Magic at the corner of Main and Baker. They'll do you upright and save you money, too. All right, back to the phones. Trooper Talk with Sergeant David Roberts. Got a full board. 646-1013. Charlotte's been hanging for a while. Go ahead, Charlotte.
Okay. If somebody like me, we live in Blanket, mm-hmm. and I had a pickup full of stuff, and another pickup was coming over here too to unload it. And somebody else was coming to help them, and they parked on the other side of the road, and they wasn't by a mailbox or anything. Is that legal to park in the ditch?
Well, it's according. I mean, obviously, you're going to look for markings or signs first, right? And assuming there's not any, your vehicle has to be facing the proper way. So you can't drive across the roadway to park with your front end pointing the wrong direction. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, it was facing the right direction, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, that, you know, in that particular case, without knowing, you know, the entire circumstances, it doesn't sound like there's any issues with that, as long as you're not blocking the roadway in any way. Or somebody else's private drive.
Okay. And if you're riding a bicycle down the highway, are you supposed to be on the ongoing traffic or the other side?
Bicycles are treated like other vehicles, so you're to abide by the regular rules of the roadway.
Okay, thank you.
All right, no problem.
All right, Charlotte, thank you. Let's go here to line two. Yeah, there we go, man. I'm getting my stretching in this morning, too. There we go. And it feels so good. Good morning, KOXE. What's your first name?
This Paul.
All right, Paul, go ahead for Sergeant David Roberts.
On a in a school zone and school is out, can you still pass by using your cell phone, or do you have to turn it off?
That's odd, because we just got that text question as well.
That was me.
Okay. Well, good deal. I'm glad. I was like, man, this is wonderful. Two people with one stone. Okay. Obviously, first and foremost, I always say this, not using your cell phone is the safest thing. But if you have to, we're not talking about texting or sending an electronic message or reading an electronic message. We're talking about actually just talking. In a school zone, it is completely prohibited any use of that cell phone in any fashion while that school zone is active. Okay, it doesn't really say if school's in or if it's out. It says while the school zone is active. And what I mean by that is the signs will either give you hours on the sign itself or it'll have a blinking light, which everybody's familiar with. So if it's within those hours or the light's blinking, then you can't touch your cell phone at all.
Okay. That's what I was wondering because, you know, with school out and stuff and the light's not on, I just wondered if you could use a cell phone.
Right. No, you'll be fine as long as it's not an active school zone.
Okay. That'll work.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right, Paul, thank you. We'll put you in for that drawing again at the end of the show. We're going to draw for a boatload of prizes right here. Dr. Pepper, Billy Bob's, Shipley Donuts, KOXE T-shirt, and more. 646-1013. All right, Amanda wants to know. Grab one of those open lines, by the way, 646-1013. Amanda wants to know if you're turning left into traffic, is it legal to pull into the turn lane and then continue into the flow of traffic when it's clear?
Okay. Well, unless there's a specific ordinance in the city, the way the law, there's no law that says left turn lane. It's a more vague law that we go by. But basically the rules, as I've had them explained to me, in as far as enforcement purposes goes, are I've been instructed that the left lane, you can actually pull out into the left lane or into the center lane. Let's call it the center lane. But you're not to drive down the center lane. So in other words, you don't pull out in that lane and start driving down that lane and waiting for somebody to give you an opening. If you want to pull out into the lane and then wait for an opening, that's one thing. But driving down it is where the problem starts, because then you're utilizing that lane for something other than it was intended. And there's a really good chance, since you're not paying attention as much to where you're going as you are to try and demerge, where a head-on collision could occur. So pulling out in the lane, I don't see any problem with it, but utilizing that lane for something other than turning left could pose a problem.
All right, Amanda, thank you so much. We'll put you in for that drawing, 646-1013. Trooper Talk with Sergeant David Roberts, 25 years with the Department of Public Safety, is in the studio, 646-1013. All right, we did have some flooding issues this past weekend. Unfortunately, we had the truck washed away. And what they estimated was 30 feet of water.
Oh, wow.
1:30 in the morning. Tragic incident. Of course, one person still missing, and the truck is still missing.
Yeah, the last update I got was this morning. And, there's still one of the three individuals missing from the vehicle and the vehicle itself. They haven't found the vehicle. So, you know, hopefully, you know, you want to hold out hope for the best possible scenario. But law enforcement's still on it, and they're still working on it currently, so it's an active situation. Needless to say, beat on my drum again, high water is nothing to play with. And this particular location, while it was very rural, it was out in the county, there was a low water warning sign and crossing, a barricade. So that means that person had to have gone around it to get to where they were, which everybody knows is not only dangerous, it's also very illegal. Any barricade on the roadway, and it doesn't have to cross the whole roadway. We're not talking about a physical barricade, you know, like a fence or something that's locked. It's if your lane has a barricade sitting in it, it doesn't have to block the whole roadway. That means don't go around it. Your violation for that is a Class C misdemeanor for everything other than water. Now, if there's water present, that Class C gets bumped to a Class B. So now you're talking about up to 2 years in jail and 180 days in jail and a $2,000 fine for going around a barricade. Avoid that situation. Water's hard to see at night if it's not white capping. So if there's no obstructions underneath the water, if the bottom's smooth, the top of that water is going to be smooth, in which case it's going to be dang near invisible until you're right on top of it. So be aware of your area. Everybody knows your local area if you live there. You know the areas that most likely flood. So if you've gotten a lot of rain, try to avoid those areas. You know, don't test it. It's not worth it.
Yep. 60-year-old in the pickup truck still missing. The search is still on. And as you said, hopefully, you know, there's still a glimmer of hope right
cross
there.
Cross your fingers.
But that must have been just a harrowing experience. The one person clinging to a tree, literally.
Yeah.
While the other calls and gets help. So,
I mean, besides the sheer power of the water, you're talking about, you know, it's been a lot cooler than normal for this time of year. I mean, hypothermia is real, even during the summer. So as cool as it's been, hypothermia is definitely an issue as well.
You know, and we've talked about it. It doesn't take but like 6 inches of water, rushing water to wash away a vehicle.
Yeah, if water's moving 6 inches, we'll take some vehicles off the roadway. And even standing still water, do not go through it. And there's a reason for that. If, you know, water is self-leveling. So if you pour it over an uneven surface, the top of the water is level, right? So even if it's not moving, you don't know if the road's still there. It was there yesterday. It may not be there anymore today. You may fall into a huge hole. So it's not worth taking that chance.
Yeah. All right. Well said, Sergeant. Let's go back to the phones. KOXE, what's your first name? Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Right.
What's your first name?
Leah.
Leah, go ahead for Sergeant Roberts.
Yes. Here in Goldway, Texas. Yes,
sir. All right.
My husband, this last week, he went in last Monday, for a week of surgery there at Brentwood Hospital. Anyway, well, I want to ask, I was coming, leaving the hospital, headed towards 377, I believe, at that intersection line to go to the convenience store there at Stripes. And I was going, and the way the line in one lane, two lanes goes the arrows to the right, and then there's one lane that goes straight across to the to convenience store, and then one left to 377. And I thought I was in the right lane, and all of a sudden I wasn't. But at I had to get over to my left hand lane. You know, a long time ago there was, but to the left, And we didn't have stripes, and I thought, oh, I'm in the right lane, and oh, I made this green light. Well, no, I didn't. A car was coming left to the hospital, and I almost T-boned him. And I was just really concerned that the way the lights are there is so dangerous.
Right. It you know, just to me, on this end, trust me, it sounds like a confusing intersection.
It very.
But, you know, obviously, you know, not to berate you in any way, just road markings, they change all the time. And the people that aren't even used to the area, they aren't from the area, usually actually adjust to that a lot easier than the people that live there locally. Because, you know, you're used to doing one thing every day, years on end. And so you know what the intersection's like before approaching it. And we tend to, and I'm guilty as well, we tend to not really pay attention to the signs or markings as closely as we should when we're in a familiar area, because we assume we know what it's like.
And especially like you said, just the idea, sir.
Yeah, it's not uncommon. I mean, you know, it is dangerous. You know, and I have to say, always watch your signs and markings. But if there is something that you believe is physically wrong with the intersection that could be improved upon, always contact your local TxDOT office if it's a FM highway or larger. And if there's a marking that they can improve to improve safety, you know, they'll look at it. They don't have a problem with that.
I will do that because my feeling is like, you know, the left lane to the left as usual. But if that one lane that goes, the two lanes that go to the right, if they could also go straight and then to the left, or I guess to the right. But if, you know, at that time that left light comes on, that, you know, 377 is the main, you know, people cruising fast down that road.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, and it was just so confusing. I mean, those lanes could be, you know, way to the right. I don't know. I just really came really close to a T-pone accident that morning with a car, and those two lights were green to the right. And I thought that middle one was going to go to the right or to the left, but it didn't.
Yeah.
And so I kind of got, you know, my steering wheel, and it hit my brakes. Thank you, Lord, because, like I said, that Mustang came in front of me going, I guess, towards the hospital, and it really scared me. Well, and I imagine there's a lot of people that's not used to it.
Right. Well, we definitely appreciate your call, and, you know, you bring up a good point. You know, we really have to be vigilant and watching out for them signs and markings.
All right. Let's thank you, Leah, for the call. Put you in for that drawing at the end of the show. Yeah, good morning, KLXE. What's your first name?
Juanita.
Go ahead, Sergeant Roberts.
Okay. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's driving and they don't have driver's license, do you get a ticket, or do they take you to jail, or what?
That's actually going to be officer discretion. Now, I can tell you the state law, you know, obviously it says don't do it, right? That's pretty simple.
Right.
can't mess that one up. You know, you don't have a driver's license, don't drive.
Right.
But, you know, it's up to the officer discretion and the department's policy. Some departments actually will take the driver in and under a Class C misdemeanor in what we call instanter them, which means take them before the court immediately and tow the vehicle, take possession of the vehicle. I've heard of it happening before with driver's licenses and with insurance, if you don't have insurance. So that is a possibility. Most of the time, I believe it's just a citation. But I definitely wouldn't, you know, I can't endorse it, and I wouldn't suggest driving without a driver's license ever. If it's a case where you are unable to obtain a license through normal means, in other words, you can't just go to the driver's license office or website and get one for whatever reason, you can always get a hold of legal counsel, and they can go through the local courts and obtain a driver's license for you. That would be for work purposes, for getting to and from work. That way you don't have to lose money or walk to work.
Oh, okay. Because they're waiting for the license to get reinstated. Yeah. So they were just wondering about that.
Yeah. So that's the answer.
All righty. Thank you very much.
All righty. No problem.
All right, Juanita, thank you for the call. Let's go back here. It's line one. Trooper Talk with Sergeant David Roberts with the Department of Public Safety. So let's go back here to line one. I was going to ask you something. I forgot what it was.
Were you going to ask me about Junior Brown? See.
Oh, Junior Brown! Golly! I knew there was something on my mind right here. Oops. Yeah.
I can see the little gerbil in there running.
Huh? Yeah, you saw it working, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did.
I can't even push the right buttons this morning. I'm not doing very good. All right, here we go. 30 minutes into the show.
The highway patrol.
Wow.
Hours are long, my pay is low. But I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the highway patrol.
Okay, there we go. Now let's go back to the phones.
KOXC. Now we're official.
KOXC, what's your first name?
Carolyn.
Carolyn, go ahead for Sergeant Roberts.
I was wondering, I live on a busy highway on 183, and our driveway is just right at the highway.
Right.
So would it hurt? I mean, someone told me that we'd have to pull, I mean, if we back out of our driveway, we'd have to pull plumb across the highway on that right-hand side before we go toward town.
That's
too dangerous when you have little ones in the car with you.
Right.
So that we wouldn't get a ticket if we pulled out of our driveway and turned in our yard so we could see better before we crossed the highway.
Yeah, are you trying to go? Does the highway run in perpendicular to your, in other words, is it like a T or does it run? I'm trying to understand.
Well, it's right in front of our house.
Okay.
The house across the field gymnastics.
Yeah.
But it makes me nervous to pull out of my driveway and go across two lanes in a busy highway and put it in gear and then go forward.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're always supposed to pull into the lane closest to you, first of all. And let me back up even further than that. If at all possible, on any, going onto any roadway, but especially a main thoroughfare like you're talking about, where the speeds are a little bit higher and there's more traffic, if you can get your vehicle turned around on your property so you're entering with the front of your vehicle, that's always safer. You can see better. You can operate the vehicle more agilely. I mean, you can, you know, stop quicker. You can take off quicker and turn the vehicle, et cetera, than if you were going backwards. So if that's not an option, you can back out onto it. It's very dangerous, but always back out. Either if there's a shoulder, utilize the shoulder. Cause that's
it's not very wide shoulder.
Yeah, you know, utilize as much as you can in order to avoid the oncoming traffic. But as a secondary roadway, a smaller roadway, or a private drive, it's always the duty of that driver to yield the right of way to the main highway. So by telling people telling you to pull all the way across, not real sure what they're talking about, because you're actually supposed to pull into the lane closest to you or utilize the shoulder or as much as you can in order to not impede traffic.
Right. Well, I mean, my yard, my grass is right at the edge of the shoulder.
Yeah.
So I back it out, I always turn and sit on my grass and sit there until it's clear before I pull out.
That's probably the smartest bet, doing that, because you and I both know, and it's common sense, that if you're driving a vehicle forward, you can operate it much better than you can if you're in reverse.
Right.
So, all right.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Thank
I just
you.
Need to find out for
yes,
sure.
Ma'am. Absolutely.
Carolyn, we'll put you in for that drawing. We got a dozen donuts. We got Dr. Pepper, some other prizes we're going to draw for at the end of the show. Good morning, KOXE. What's your first name?
Janice.
Who?
Janice.
Oh, Janice.
Janice.
Sergeant, you feeling all right over there?
I'm just stretching.
Okay, get your exercises in this. I'm just making sure now.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Doing your yoga here during the show. I love it.
I feel better now. I got my coffee. I stretched.
All right, Janice, what you got for Sergeant Roberts?
As you come out of early and you hit the light there at the elementary school, there is a designated lane to turn right to go towards Zephyr.
Correct.
And there is a light.
Yes.
If it is red, do you have to stop and wait until it turns green?
Well,
or can you go stop and then go if there is nothing turning?
Yeah,
or nothing?
That I know exactly. When you said the intersection, I knew exactly what your question is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very odd intersections. Not many of them exist. I know you have at least one here in this area. There's another one that's identical to that down in Lampasas. And we've had the same question come up over and over, especially when there's a crash. Now, the law's not real specific about that intersection because it contradicts itself. We're not talking about the transportation code. This gets much deeper than that. You have to start doing some research into the administration code and the TxDOT rules in order to find where this is even at. That's how, you know, odd this intersection is. The way we've been instructed as far as enforcement goes, you know, enforcement and safety may be two different things. But as far as enforcement goes, we were advised that if you come to a complete stop and the light's red, you can proceed forward and go ahead and continue on as long as it's safe to do so. So we've been told basically don't stop somebody for coming to a complete stop, clearing the intersection, and then driving forward. That being said, obviously you can't ever go forward unless it's safe. You know, I mean, there's a reason the light's red right then, or either red or even blinking yellow. It's telling you, hey, caution, you know, there's other traffic that could be in the area. But, yeah, as far as enforcement goes, the way we've been instructed is not to enforce that red light if it's safe to traverse and you made a complete stop and there's no other signage, which in some places there are. It says, you know, no turn on red, which case, obviously, don't do that. But, so there you go. That's all we know.
All right. Janice, you got it?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. Let's take a break here because I got a couple of more text questions. And
wonderful.
We do have an open phone line, 646-1013. It's Trooper Talk with Sergeant David Roberts with the Department of Public Safety. We'll be back after this word from our sponsors. It's 845 at KOXE.
Hey, it's Greg Bruner from the Bruner Auto Family. We've seen lots of dealers come and go, but we've stuck around. That's because at the Bruner Auto Family, we believe in helping you buy better. We've been a part of some great hometown communities over the years. My granddad set a high standard for us. He taught my dad, who taught me, that caring about our community, caring about the people in our community, is one of our most important jobs as a dealership. That's why you see our name around town so much. We look for ways to support our schools, youth organizations, and booster clubs, and we jump right in. When you buy Bruner, you buy knowing we're all making a difference in our hometown communities. We've got incredible sales going on this month during Chevy Truck Month, and our team needs your trade-ins. So stop by, give us a call, or check us out at BrunerEarly.com. Come and see what we mean when we say, buy better, buy Bruner.
Bruner Advantage not available in commercial purchases. Lifetime powertrain warranty available on new vehicles only. Chevy, find new roads.
They constantly put the needs and safety of others ahead of their own. They have always been there to protect us and step in harm's way. And at the new West Central, we want to show our support for them, our military and first responders. Mike Higgins here. My great-grandfather was a police officer, and my father and son served in our military. So I know firsthand that the families of our military and first responders also make sacrifices for us. We would like to thank these heroes and their families by offering them our best unlimited cellular and internet plans ever, starting at only $24.95 a month. This is a 25% savings on current rate plans. These are deals they've earned and deserve, and of course are available to new and current West Central customers. You have my word on it. So come see us at the new West Central and let us say thank you with our new military and first responder rate plans, starting at only $24.95 per month. The new West Central. It's where you want to be. Guaranteed.
During a medical emergency, every minute matters. That's why at Brownwood Regional Medical Center, you'll find less waiting where you need it most, in our emergency room. In fact, we will work diligently to have you initially seen by a medical professional with the shortest wait time possible. And because we're a full-service hospital, we can provide more care if you need it. In a medical emergency, count on the ER at Brownwood Regional Medical Center for great care with less waiting.
Hey everyone's welcome to the Comanche County Cowboy Church 6th Anniversary Celebration and Country Gospel Music and Fundraiser Saturday the 18th from noon until 6. Barbecue cook-off and dinner, silent auction, petting zoo and other activities for the kids, gun raffles and more. Live music throughout the day featuring Martin and Murray from Brownwood, Kevin Rowe, KRPS 4 God's Music Ministry, Shuri and Stephen Klein with No Longer I Ministries, and many others. For more information about this event, cook-off, or to purchase raffle tickets, visit Comanche County Cowboy Church.com. The event will be next to the Rodeo Arena in Comanche, Saturday the 18th at noon.
Hey, it's 8:48 on the old Atomics clock right there. Sergeant David Roberts with the Department of Public Safety is here. I got a couple of more text message questions, but let's go back to the phones because Deb has been hanging for a while. Deb, go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for having this service. It's real great information.
Thank you.
My question is I travel from... I go through Richland Springs to Brownwood on 45, and there's a double yellow line, and I have people passing me all the time. Mm-hmm. What kind of citation would a person receive if they're caught doing that?
If you are, well, there could be extenuating circumstances, but just strictly speaking, of the transportation code, you know, not any criminal infraction. You know, if somebody gets hurt, it could go a different way, but... just simply speaking, nobody gets hurt. We're assuming you pass in a no-passing zone. You're on the wrong side of the roadway in a passing zone. Then you can be cited for a fine amount of up to $500.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot more than I thought. I have people passing me all the time, and it's sometimes it's in a dangerous. They're on the hills, and, you know, it's hard to see when you're going over that hill. But I'm really concerned about people, you know, and... Of course, you know, y'all can't be everywhere, I know, and that's out in the country, too.
We try.
But that would be considered the sheriff's department responsibility, right?
Well, either the sheriff's office or the DPS, either one.
Oh, okay.
If they're in the area, you know, either one of us can take care of the problem. So if you see it, you know, don't hesitate to call, because that is definitely a dangerous situation.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate your time, and you have a great day, and God bless you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, let me see if I can play this on the air. All right, here we go. Let's try this.
It's technology.
Yeah, it's great. Technology is amazing. I don't know if it's... All right, I'm not going to be able to get that played. All right, anyway... It was an old clip.
You can sing it.
No, I cannot sing it, I promise you. Oh, it's buffering. All right, while it's buffering, let me go back to another question right here from Judy. Is there a certain age where DPS will not renew a driver's license? Thank you, Judy.
Well, you know, thank you. I appreciate you calling in about that. Now, there is no age limit. They don't put a numerical value on it because, as we know, everybody ages differently. You have some 50-year-olds that... aren't capable any longer of safely operating a vehicle, and you have some 100-year-olds that are perfectly capable of operating a vehicle. So it's based on the person's condition, and it's a goodwill type reporting deal. They're supposed to recognize the fact that they may pose a danger to themselves or others and either voluntarily give up their license or report, you know, themselves to DPS. If that doesn't happen, which sometimes it doesn't, then anybody else, including family members or law enforcement, can report that person to us, to DPS, to what we call it MAB, M-A-B. Of course, is another acronym because we're with the government, right? So we use acronyms. But MAB stands for Medical Advisory Board. And if you go to the Texas DPS website, just go on your search engine, type in Texas DPS. You can get on there and you can find the Medical Advisory Board information, and you can download that form and submit it. And then we will look into the problem.
Here we go.
It sounds like a new siren.
Headquarters by.
We're proceeding to railway station number 9. At 3850 meters at that 1020. At 3170, stay 1 mile below at junction 40. Alert the emergency crews. Do not approach the station. 10-4?
10-4.
Well, the question was, she finished up. Okay, hush already. Stop
it's
it.
It's still going.
She finished up with headquarters by. Do they still do that?
Headquarters by. Yeah, I've never heard that on the air before. You know, I've heard now some, because we get a lot of former military in the law enforcement, and they'll mess up the phonetic alphabet sometimes.
Right.
Or they'll say over a lot, which I guess they do in the military. You know, they'll say whatever they want to say and say over, and that we don't do that.
Over, under, over. Remember Airplane?
Oh, yeah.
Over, under.
Yeah.
All right. You know,
stop calling me Shirley.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. They're on instruments now. I love that. All right. KLXC, what's your first name?
Ray.
Ray, go ahead for Sergeant Roberts. Oh, you know what? I had the wrong thing plugged in. Go ahead.
I just sold a pickup, and a guy had to have passed off the truck.
Mm-hmm.
How do I go about, because I know you're supposed to pull your plates and stuff off.
Right.
How's he supposed to get that back?
It's actually perfectly safe and legal to do so. I always suggest pulling your plates, so you're going down the right road. You started doing the correct thing. You can pull your plates, and then also go on the Texas DMV or TxDOT websites, one or the other. It will, because they just recently changed that. But you can also go on there online, and you can print out a form, or I'm not sure if you could submit it electronically or not, but there's a form you can fill out that's an affidavit that tells them that those plates no longer belong to that vehicle. That vehicle doesn't belong to you. So, in other words, if the guy drives away and never gets it registered, that vehicle is no longer going to come back to you. So I always suggest take your plates, fill out the form telling the state that, hey, this is not mine anymore, and that way you're free and clear at that point. Now, he can get that vehicle from point A to point B legally with a bill of sale. So when you sell him the truck, give him a little receipt saying, you know, I sold the truck to this guy on this date, vehicle description, you know, and sign it. That's pretty much all he needs. If he gets stopped between here and El Paso, he's golden. If he drives it around for a week in El Paso without registering it, then he's going to have a problem.
Okay.
That makes sense?
I guess so. I guess it made all the sense in the world.
I think
right
we
there.
Lost him.
All right. Did you want to say hi to somebody this morning? Or
I don't know. Is somebody supposed to say hi to?
Oh. Okay, never mind. Just say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. All right, it is 8:55 at KOXE. We got time for a couple of more calls. Let's see if we can squeeze them in. KOXE, right. What's your first name?
Susan.
Susan, go ahead.
Yes, I know someone that has gotten a couple of tickets and did not get them paid off in a timely fashion, of course, and so some surcharges were added. And apparently, what was originally maybe a $200-something total on tickets is now over $2,500 because of all these surcharges. Can you explain that?
There are two different things, and I'm not an expert by any stretch, because we've established that driver's license is a separate entity from the Highway Patrol, and I happen to work for the Highway Patrol.
Okay.
But I can tell you from the enforcement side of it, you know, we do know a little bit about it. Surcharges are not criminal in nature. They're completely different. They're civil. So when you get stopped, and it may not be for not paying the tickets, it could be just because of the offense or how many times they've committed that offense. So there are certain offenses that you will get a surcharge regardless of if you pay your ticket on time or not. Okay? So that's one of the reasons why it's so important, not only is it the law, but to keep your address on your license correct, because you will not be notified unless you have that correct. They're going to mail you some information saying you were convicted of this particular charge, and these are the rules, the civil rules that the state has for that charge, and you owe a surcharge of X amount. And different offenses are different amounts. Different offenses are different years on how many years you have to pay the surcharge. So it's a civil proceeding, not criminal. So they're two separate things, and I try to get people to understand that. Even though you took care of your criminal responsibilities, let's say you paid off your ticket on time, make sure Your address is correct, so you can take care of your civil responsibilities. And it's only for certain offenses. There's a few offenses out there that the surcharges do apply to, and that's how they contact you, is by mail.
All right.
Address has remained the same.
Mm-hmm.
And the tickets were from a few years ago and obviously should have been paid off long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But what's sad is if somebody's trying to pay them off and then all these surcharges get added on.
Right. Yeah, it does make it difficult.
It worse and worse.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Some of these seem more punitive in nature than civil. I mean, but, you know, that's, you know, my opinion matters not. What matters is what our legislature has passed and what we have to enforce. So, yeah, they're two different deals. If your surcharges aren't paid in a timely manner, you're not going to get picked up and taken to jail because, once again, it's not criminal. If your tickets are, then you can get picked up and taken to jail. The surcharges are simply there from what I understand, is help offset some of the costs the state incurs and encourage people not to do those certain offenses. And, you know, since it's civil, you're not going to get arrested, but you also cannot get that license back until they're paid for.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate the information.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. One more quickie off the text messages right here. Then we got to draw for these prizes. If you owe toll fees in Texas, will that prevent you from getting your vehicle inspected and registered? Good question right
toll
there.
Fees
anonymous,
are,
by
you know,
the way.
That's actually a good question. You know, you're asking somebody that doesn't enforce that. So, while I can go back to what I just said a minute ago about the surcharges, the toll fees are civil in nature. They're not criminal in nature. So, you know, I would never suggest somebody not pay their toll fees. But unless there's legislature out there that DMV goes by for registration, I'm not aware of, I wouldn't think it would affect your ability to do that.
All right, very good. We got about a minute and a half left here. Great calls, text messages this morning. We got about 20 in. All right, time to give away some stuff.
Some
Dr. Pepper, Shipley Donuts, and more. All right, pick me a number between 1 and 21 there, Sergeant David Roberts.
We had 21 today.
Yep, we got a few in.
My goodness.
We had a bunch of texts.
Well, today's the 13th, so it's Monday the 13th. Let's go with number 13, lucky 13.
All right, renumbered number 13 was Amanda. Remember what Amanda had this morning?
I do not. Do you have a last name on it?
No, I do not. I know Amanda's up.
Hopefully Amanda's out there and she's still listening.
All right, so if you're Amanda and you called in this morning, you have won yourself a dozen donuts from Shipley, six-pack of Dr. Pepper, a couple of Billy Bob's tickets, and a KOXE t-shirt. How about that? All right, 45 seconds. The floor is yours, Sergeant.
The floor is mine. Let's go back to the obvious. We had a lot of rain. I think we have more coming this week. As we know, the ground's saturated, so where's the water going to go when it falls? It's going to go outside the banks of the creeks and rivers, etc. Low water crossings are dangerous. We have an ongoing situation right now. Hopefully it turns out well. You never know. So barricades or not. One, don't go around the barricade. Dangerous, illegal, can be put in jail. Two, even if there's not a barricade, if you're from the area, you're going to know where the low-lying areas are, where the water usually pools or is running across the roadway. Try to avoid those areas. The chances are really good.
Uh-oh. We ran over our time.
We ran over.
Yes.
Well, they understand what I'm trying to say. Just be real careful around high water.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And stocks are sliding as the two biggest economies in the world trade tariff punches.
The first shoe fell on Friday when President Trump made good on a promise to raise tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese imports. He then tweeted a warning that Beijing would be hurt very badly if it retaliated. Before the start of the trading day, the other shoe dropped when China announced that it's raising the tariffs on $60 billion in U.S. goods. Wall Street responded. Dow futures fell more than 500 points. At the opening bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down more than 1.5%. The NASDAQ Composite and the S&P 500 also were sharply lower. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Two Saudi Arabian oil tankers sabotaged in the Middle East. The attack coming after the U.S. warning about Iran or its allies taking aim at ships in the Persian Gulf. ABC National Security Contributor Steve Gagnard.
The Iranians are smart enough not to take on the U.S. military directly. So by using proxies, we're using non-traceable forces to carry out attacks on non-U.S. shipping, but an ally of the United States, such as Saudi Arabia, it's one way to get back at the U.S.
One of the most famous defendants in the college admission scam is due in court in Boston this afternoon. ABC's Lindsay Davis is there.
Actress Felicity Huffman is expected inside this Boston courtroom this afternoon, this time to enter a plea of guilty. The Desperate Housewives star is one of 33 parents caught up in the college admission scandal. She signed a plea deal back in April, admitting to paying $15,000 to have an SAT proctor correct the answers on her daughter's exam.
Prosecutors could ask for several months in prison. One person dead, two more, including a child, hurt in a shooting near the Trump International Beach Resort in Miami. Police say it looks like they were hit by stray bullets. And Doris Day, Hollywood star for decades and a tireless fighter for animals, has passed away. The Doris Day Animal Foundation says she died at her home. She was 97. Dow's down 534. You're listening to ABC News.
Target Drive Up is the world's fastest Target run. It's like having a Target drive-thru. You order and we bring your order right out to your car door. Just choose Drive Up in the Target app, and when you're ready, drive up and we'll bring your order right out. Down to the final diaper? Drive up. All cleaned out of cleaning supplies? Drive up. Gotta get snacks on the way to the big game? Drive up. Just order what you need and we'll have it ready whenever you are. It's easy and free with no minimum order. Drive up and then drive off. Target run and done.
Lawn lovers, run with us on a John Deere Z500 Series Z-Track mower. Built to mow better, faster with an Excel Deep Mower Deck. Because whether you're up against the clock or a busy day, this zero turn gets it done in almost no time at all. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Test drive a Z500 Series Z-Track mower at your John Deere dealer during the Take Your Turn sales event.
An investigation into rape allegations against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is being reopened in Sweden. ABC's Tom Rivers is at the Foreign Desk in London with the story.
Swedish authorities say they'll try to get the WikiLeaks founder after he served his prison time in Britain for jumping bail. In Stockholm, the deputy director of public prosecutions, through a translator, says...
Due to the fact that Mr. Assange has been deprived of liberty in the UK, the council representing the aggrieved party has presented a request to reopen the preliminary investigation concerning rape and to continue the investigation of the case.
The move leaves Britain to decide whether to extradite Assange to Sweden or the U.S., where he's wanted for allegedly hacking into a Pentagon computer. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
Less than a month ago, Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris burned. Now, ABC's David Muir has been taken inside by the retired French general, asking what's bringing it back to life.
This is the first time he has invited anyone in.
You have been tasked with, well, some would say the impossible.
Nothing is impossible to a French general.
The workers here wear protective suits and masks. 400 tons of lead were lost in that fire. He takes us in.
This is the wood of... The top part of the spire.
We stand in the shadow of one of the giant holes in the cathedral's roof. The rain coming right through.
This is ABC News.
The best pros put a little extra into everything they do. At the Home Depot, so do we. It's called Pro Extra. With member access to exclusive money-saving offers. Up to 20% off paints, stains, and primers every day. And $20 off your first purchase over $200 just for signing up. That's a lot more than a little extra. Pro Extra. Only for pros. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Visit the Pro Desk in store for details.
Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Traffic jam.